Hagatology. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 21, verse number 9. Karmanyo gunavan kalo, dravyata svata eva va, yato nivartate karma, Sadosho karma kasmitaha. Please chant.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Dravyata svata eva va.
Yato nivartate karma. Sadosho karma kasmitaha.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Dravyata svata eva va.
Yato
nivartate karma.
Yato nivartate karma.
Sadosho karma kasmitaha.
Sadosho karma kasmitaha.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Dravyata svata eva va.
Yato nivartate karma.
Sadosho karma
kasmitaha. Karmanya gunavan kalo. Dravyata svata eva va.
Yato nivartate karma.
Sadosho karma kasmitaha.
Karmanyo gunavan kalo.
Dravyata svata eva va.
Yato
nivartate karma.
Sadosho karma
kasmitaha. Anyone else? Okay, translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples and purport. A specific time is considered pure when it is appropriate, either by its own nature or through achievement of suitable paraphernalia for the performance of one's prescribed duty. That time which impedes the performance of one's duty is considered impure. Okay. My computer is being... Having discussed pure and impure places, the Lord now discusses different qualities of time. Certain times, such as Brahma Muhurta, the last few hours before sunrise, are always auspicious for spiritual achievement, spiritual advancement. Other times, not auspicious in themselves, become so by achievement of material prosperity that facilitates one's mission in life. Political, social, or economic disturbances that obstruct the execution of one's religious duties are considered inauspicious times. Similarly, a woman is considered contaminated just after childbirth or during her menstrual period. She cannot perform ordinary religious activities at such times, which are therefore inauspicious and impure. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the most auspicious of all times is the moment one achieves the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one neglects the loving service of the Lord, being carried away by sense gratification, he is certainly living in the most inauspicious times. Therefore, that moment in which one achieves the association of the Supreme Lord or the Lord's pure devotee is the most auspicious time, whereas the moment of losing such association is most inauspicious. In other words, the perfection of life is simply Krishna consciousness, by which one transcends the dualities of time and space caused by the three modes of material nature. Namo Om Shukaraya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutaneshu Mata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kharani Namaste Saraswati Devi Kaura Vani Kacharini Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Kaschati Adyakshatani. Day before yesterday, Tuesday after the newsletter came out, my husband saw that he's supposed to give class today. So he said to me, can you give the class on Thursday because I have a dental appointment? And I said, day after tomorrow? I need some time to prepare. And I said, well, you've been preparing all your life, so why do you need time to prepare? I said, okay, let me read the verse and see if I can say something. So I read the verse. It didn't make any sense to me. I kept on reading, and I'm like, okay, I have nothing to say. And then when I read this verse, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the most auspicious of all times is the moment one achieves the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I thought, am I being told that this is auspicious time, I'm getting some mercy, and I should give class? And I said, okay, so I surrendered. And once I surrendered and I read the translation and the purport again, as if like Krishna gave me some mercy, he said, okay, here are some pastimes. So three pastimes came in my mind, two from the Bhagavatam and one from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that describe something in regards to time, the sensitive aspect of time. Yesterday we were discussing, Pran Govinda Prabhu was nicely describing about place. The verse was about place, how there's inauspicious or auspicious place. So today the verse is about auspicious, inauspicious time. So in the Bhagavatam, the pastime that came to my mind was about Mother Diti. Mother Diti had, she was married to Kashyapa Muni, and she had 13 sisters were married to Kashyapa Muni. And she was feeling that all her co-wives had children, where she didn't. And so she was feeling naturally agitated. And so she went and approached her husband, Kashyapa Muni, who was at that time in trance. And she said to him, listen, dear, she praised him, like you see these praises in the Bhagavatam, you're such a great husband, da-da-da-da-da, you fulfill all the desires, you're meant to fulfill all the desires, and like that. So, all my sisters, my co-wives, they have children, but I don't. Please, can I have children? And Kashyapa Muni was a gentleman, and he praised his wife, how without the wife one cannot perform sacrifice and this, and he praised his wife like anything. And then he said, but, this is not auspicious time to have children right now. Could you kindly wait for a little while? For some muhurta, because right now Lord Shiva and the ghost and they're all hovering around, and if we try to perform the act of conceiving a child, it will offend him, and this is not the right time. But sometimes, when the desire is there, then good advice doesn't really click in. And so she said, I really want to have now. So Kashyapa Muni, like, okay, he put his arms up and he said, okay. So after the act, it was all over, and Diti, being a devotee of Krishna, having faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one of good natured, she regretted what she did. It happens with all of us. We regret sometimes we do things. So she regretted. And so she again approached Kashyapa Muni. And she said, I'm sorry, but I know I shouldn't have done that, but please protect my child. And Kashyapa Muni, he wasn't too happy about her coming, and yet he was. First he chastised her that you didn't listen to me. You know it was inauspicious time. I told you so. And yet you want it. So because of that, because of the inauspicious time and you not listening to me, you're going to have two sons that are demoniac. And you know who they are? That's right, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. He said, but although you are going to have those two sons, but because you regretted what you did, and because you have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will have a grandson who is going to be a great devotee. So here we see what inauspicious time can do, and we also see that how when you get the mercy of a devotee, Kashyapa Muni was a great devotee. When she did get the mercy of Kashyapa Muni and the Lord, she got a grandson who was Prahlad Maharaj. So that was one pastime that came to my mind. There's another pastime that's actually very famous in the Bhagavatam, which talks about that's deals with the sensitive time. Anybody can think of one? It's a very famous pastime that deals with the sensitivity of time. Yes, Mother Mohan Prabhu.
Madam Maharaj went to take care of Jamuna.
Uh-huh. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that one. I didn't think of that one. Thank you. That's very nice. Yes, that pastime is there. Yes, Raghavan.
The Brahmins that were performing the yajna, they said, no, this isn't, it's not time. We have to do this yajna first. The wives of the Brahmins.
Wow. Very good. Wow. There's so many times. There's so many pastimes there. That's another one that I didn't think. Any other one? Yes? Yes. That's right. That's the one that I thought about, Amarish Maharaj. Amarish Maharaj, he was following Ekadashi and Dwadashi Vrata for one whole year. And in the last month of Kartik, he was in Vrindavan. And it was time for him to break the vow for Ekadashi on the next day of Dwadashi. So he had fasted for 3 days, and now he was going to break the fast. He the morning of Dwadashi, he did what he was meant to do. He worshipped his deity very nicely, you know, ornamented them, garlanded them, fresh flowers, and after he did that, he fed the Brahmins very nicely. He gave in charity cows, and he did everything so nicely. And just about the time he was ready to break his fast, our great Durvasa Muni comes there. He always comes at the right time. So he comes there. I'm sure we have a Durvasa Muni in our ISKCON. Maybe Durvasa Muni must have incarnated here in our ISKCON movement. But anyway, so Durvasa Muni comes at the time, and Amarish Maharaj welcomes him and, you know, does what he's meant to do and asked him, please eat. And the Durvasa Muni said, well, I will, but I just have to go and take my bath in the Jamuna and then I'll come back and honor prasad. No problem. So while Durvasa Muni is taking his bath, Ambarish Maharaj is looking, oh my God, it's time for me to break my fast. Time, such an important aspect, time. So he has been following this whole year, he's been following this vrata, and now it's time for him to break his fast. And because time is such a sensitive thing, if you don't break your fast at the proper time, then everything you have done goes without fruits, so to speak. And so he was very much concerned. And so he discussed with the brahmanas and said, listen, it's time for me to break my fast. What should I do? The Durvasa Muni, he's my guest, so I should, that's another aspect. The Vedic culture has so many rules and regulations. If you eat before the guest, then you're in trouble. So he couldn't really eat before his guest, but he had to break his fast. Otherwise, everything he did would go nil. And so a decision was made that he would just drink water, because water is like eating and not eating. So he drank a little water. So Durvasa Muni comes back, and Ambarish Maharaj tells him to sit down and eat. Durvasa Muni is hungry, especially after you take a bath. If you're hungry and you take a bath, you really get hungry. So he was really hungry at this stage. And Ambarish Maharaj was very kind, and he said, okay, please sit down. But Durvasa Muni, he's a mystical guy, and he could see through his mysticism that Ambarish had taken water. Now, Durvasa Muni did not do something good. I was like, actually, I've heard this pastime so many times, but when I read it, I was like shocked. I was shocked what Durvasa Muni actually said to Ambarish Maharaj. Let me see if I can get this over here. I'd like to read what he actually said. He said, still hungry, Durvasa Muni. Listen to this carefully. Still hungry, Durvasa Muni, his body trembling, his face curved, and his eyebrows crooked in a frown. Just imagine what he looked like. He was hungry, and I think he's old. Is Durvasa Muni old? Does anybody know he's an old guy? I always think he's an old guy.
He's a Brahmaloka resident. You cannot calculate like us.
Okay, well, okay, whatever age he has, but I always visualize him as an older man. Okay, and his eyebrows crooked in a frown, and he spoke to Ambarish. And how was Ambarish? He was standing with his folded hands. He was just folding his hands. And this is what he said. Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He's not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. I mean, I was shocked that this is what he said. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. Maharaj Ambarish, you have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you. And then he got angry. He was so angry. Then he pulled some hair out of his head, I guess maybe out of a shikha. And then he made a demon coming out, a huge demon, fiery demon, who was ready to swallow Maharaj Ambarish. And this whole time, Maharaj Ambarish had his hands folded. Can you imagine somebody got angry with us, and we still just fold our hands, and they're ready to curse us, and we fold our hands? I mean, no, we'd be like, yell back at him some few words and, you know, give our peace of mind. But no, he just like kept his hands folded. And even when this fiery demon came, he was not afraid. He just kept his hands folded. And then we know Sudarshan Chakra came and chased Durvasa Muni. So here, and we know the story that the Rasa Muni was chased and he went to all different gods, demigods, and then finally he went to Vishnu, and Vishnu said, hey, go back to Ambarish. You have to apologize to him. And sure enough, the Rasa Muni, whatever he is a devotee. So he realized his mistake and he went to Ambarish Maharaj. He folded his hands. He started offering prayers to Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj felt, he was so humble. He felt so ashamed that here is this great sannyasi, this great muni is doing that. He felt very awkward and ashamed. And right away then he started offering prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. And it's very sweet what he actually says to Sudarshan Chakra. He says, he offers a lot of prayers, but he says, if our family, this is Ambarish Maharaj is saying, if our family has given charity to proper persons, if we have performed ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, if we have properly carried out our occupational duties, and if we have been guided by learned Brahmins, I wish, in exchange, that this Brahmin be freed from the burning caused by Sudarshan Chakra. We can just look into the heart of Ambarish Maharaj. What a great soul he was. That he was willing to give everything, any pious credit that he had done, or him and his family had done, willing to give it to Duvasa Muni, who was ready to, who did curse him, and ready to kill him. But this was Ambarish Maharaj's way of responding. So, like Pran Govinda Prabhu was yesterday explaining so nicely that this time and place, like he was talking about, these things, auspicious time, inauspicious time, place, this is all for those who are following the Vedic path, not for us who are following the Srimad Bhagavatam, path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he has given to us. And even these pastimes that have been given in the Bhagavatam in regards to the sensitivity of time is actually not, it's not about stressing the importance of auspicious or inauspicious time, but it's actually there to glorify their devotees. A pastime of Ambarish is about glorifying how Ambarish Maharaj, what kind of devotee he is. This is to glorify Ambarish Maharaj and not to talk about the time that he did this or that or whatever. And the next pastime that I thought that came to my mind was from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that is, I love that pastime. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from an impersonalist to a personalist. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya, the next day after he did the whole Atmaram verses and explained and everything, and when he showed him the Vishnu form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the next day, the following day, Lord Chaitanya, early in the morning, he went to have darshan of Lord Jagannath. So he saw Lord Jagannath rising from his bed, so he went early in the morning, and then the pujari gave him garlands and some mahaprasadam. So Lord Chaitanya was very eagerly described that hastily he went to see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now you can imagine, the person just got converted yesterday, and here he's very anxious, Lord Chaitanya is anxious to give him more mercy. So the next day he goes to him in the morning, before sunrise, in the Brahma Muhurta time. And when Lord Chaitanya comes and approaches his place, he could hear Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya distinctly saying, Sarvabhauma just got up from his bed, and he distinctly heard Sarvabhauma saying, Krishna, Krishna. So he was, Lord Chaitanya was so happy that that's what came out of his mouth as soon as he got out of bed, saying, Krishna, Krishna. I thought about how there's this beautiful bhajan, actually it's Varuna's favorite. It's such a nice bhajan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, and it describes that what Lord Chaitanya does when he gets up in the morning. Udilo aruna purababhage dvijamani gaura mani jage bhakata samuha loya sathe gelo nagara braje. Udilo aruna, early in the morning when you see here in Alacha, we can see the beautiful sunrise and the reddish color in the sky. At that time in the morning, Udula Aruna Purava Bhage, in the eastern side when the sun is rising, what does Lord Chaitanya do? Bhakata Samuha Loya Sati. He goes with the Bhakata, with all the devotees. And what did